going to go ahead and get started this morning. And okay. And it's good to be back in our room. And we only have the one mic, guys. I don't know where the long mic. So if, for your comments, you're going to have to come up here in front of everybody, okay? Yeah, join me. You got to join me up here, you know? Okay, so let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for another Sunday morning, Lord God. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Oh, Lord, we just thank you. Even as we go into this week where we celebrate our nation's birth, Lord God, we just pray for our nation. We lift it up in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We join together as believers in the living God, Lord God. And we pray for the Spirit of the living God to fall on this nation in the name of Jesus, that you would take her back, oh Lord, where she first believed, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we take authority over the lies that she has embraced, Lord God, and we pray that those lies would be cast down in the name of Jesus, along with the liar, in the name of Jesus. We take authority in Jesus' name, and we just thank you, Lord God, and we expect you, Lord God. We expect the turnaround. We expect the change, Lord God, and we just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, folks, you keep praying, okay? You keep praying. My sister keeps telling me God has not given up on this republic, and I'm just a believer. I said, she goes, you know, you see everything going on, and she says, God has not given up on us. So we just going to keep praying, lifting up our nation, and just praying for God to do his great work in our nation. We are going into session 3. Yay! Can you believe it took us 2 months? 2 months to get through 2 sessions, you know, but this has been good. I hope you guys are enjoying these lessons as much as I have. You know, it just really surprised me what was in this war room lesson, and it surprised me some of the things that it addressed. You know, if we're going to do effective warfare in the name of our Lord, some of the things we have to deal with, the honest evaluation. You know, first things first, I thought we were going to drop on our knees and start praying for everybody else. And it starts like, no, let's get you right first. Let's do you. Let's check on you. Because how are you going to reach heaven if you got all this stuff going on? And then we went into accountability. Oh, boy, I love that. Just coming out of that, because it's really teaching us how to love each other. You know, because again, how can you pray for people that you don't love? If you don't know how to love, you don't know how to do this loving thing. How can you get effective warfare? Sometimes we think it's just about sprouting out a bunch of prayers, but man, I'm telling you, you gotta have love for people. That's the thing that Jesus, that set Jesus apart. He loved the people and he loved everyone, you know, so that made all the difference. So now we go into session 3, living the gospel. Boy, is that a part of warfare or what? So it just really is hitting us how we're going to be doing warfare. So now we get into the part of living the gospel. And our key verse comes from 2 Corinthians 9:8. And it says, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in him, and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. You know, 2 Corinthians 9:8, and that's in the Amplified. You know, and we open with this verse because this verse assures us that as we live the gospel, we have all that we need, that God's going to do it. As we live the gospel, we can be sure of all the things that this verse is listing. Christ will supply everything. Because the major reason we fail to live the gospel is because we fear that we will not have things, that we will not have what we need. We're not so sure about doing it Jesus' way all the time. And that's why. So this scripture stands out as our key, that God is able to make all grace. And we're going to talk about grace in this lesson. All grace and every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you. You know, his people. So you don't have to worry about what the issues are as you live the gospel. This lesson is about the gospel power. The gospel doesn't just save us from hell. Christ's kingdom is one where the inhabitants' lives are transformed daily to look more like him. So we got to get beyond just being saved and I'm not going to hell. There's more to it than that, folks. This salvation thing comes with the whole package. Do you understand? And after you come into the kingdom, then it's a time for your lives to be transformed by living the gospel so that we look more like him. Your lesson says scripture calls this sanctification. So it is not only by God's grace that we are saved. It is by God's grace that we are changed. And this is from the War Room book. And, you know, I just didn't like that word sanctification, sanctified. You know, that's kind of, you know, I grew up in church and I just hated to be called sanctified. You know, like, what does that mean? You know, I didn't really know what the word meant, but it just sounded so religious, you know. She's sanctified, you know, and people would even use it as an insult, you know, until I began to understand what that word meant. That word means to be set apart, to be set aside. Jesus saved us, and then he takes us, and he sets us apart and sets us aside. So now I'm like, yes, I am sanctified. I am set apart by the living God for his work and for his purpose. You know, as Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we're going to talk about, you know, just this whole lesson is about living this gospel. And first, so we got to understand this gospel. You know, it's the gospel of grace, but let's do an examination of grace and see what that's all about. So your lesson says, what is your personal definition of grace? What does grace mean in your life? If we truly understood the depths of God's grace toward us, we would live differently, more appreciative and loving toward God and our Savior. The official definition in the Christian belief is the free and unmerited favor of God, as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. Second definition, a divinely given talent or blessing, the graces of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, third, the condition or fact of being favored by someone. And can you believe I got this out of the Apple Dictionary? You know, and that really blew my mind when I saw that in the Apple Dictionary, because it's interesting that even in the secular world, the world, grace cannot be defined outside of God. Because God is the example, the greatest example that humanity has of grace is God. God's grace, it almost flows together. We always say it together, the grace of God. But for the grace of God, go I, we say all the time. So understanding that grace is that unmerited favor of God as manifested in salvation because he sent his son to die. You know, the grace, you know, and I love that picture we have in our lesson of Christ's hand reaching down and pulling us up. And that's what he did. He reached down in the muck and mire and he pulled us up. As we examine grace according to the scriptures, we find various aspects of its application to the believer's life. And we're going to examine using Ephesians 2 verses 4 through 9. We have in the lesson and it reads, but God being so very rich in mercy because of his great and wonderful love with which he loved us, even when we were spiritually dead and separated from him because of our sins, he made us spiritually alive together with Christ. For by his grace, his undeserved favor and mercy, you have been saved from God's judgment. Now that's a mouthful, but boy, doesn't it say a lot, you know, that you were spiritually dead while we were yet sinners. He died for us and he made us alive with him. It was undeserved, but he gave it to us. Verse 6 says that he raised us up together with him when we believed and seated us with him in the heavenly places because we are in Christ Jesus. And he did this so that in the ages to come, he might clearly show the immeasurable and unsurpassed riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus by providing for our redemption. Wow. His kindness, his grace. I mean, you gotta really get this because God didn't have to do this. He didn't have to do this. We wouldn't have known the difference whether he did it or not. We wouldn't have known the difference. We would just been in our sin and not have known the difference. But he did it because of who he is, because of his grace and his kindness. For it is by grace, God's unremarkable compassion and favor, drawing to Christ, drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And I want to stop right there. For those of you that are praying for your loved ones, see, it was grace that drew you. That's how you got here, because of grace. And that same grace, as you pray, that grace is extended to your loved ones, that God draws them in by however he wants to. You know, he draws them in. You know, and I believe, you know, I'm not a big fan of certain people, but I remember this quote, by any means necessary. I think it was Malcolm X that said that. But by any means necessary, I believe God will draw your loved ones in. He'll do whatever he needs to do to draw them in. I believe God will take people home early that know him. You ever seen beautiful Christians go home, you know, and then their family all come to the Lord? You know, that happened in my family. My father was taken early, you know, but when he was taken, because he was that one that was always going home, he would go home. You know, we all lived up in New York, and we would go down to South Carolina when we were kids to visit his mother, and all his brothers and sisters lived down there. And when they heard that Julius was coming, that was my dad, they would take off. They would scatter because they knew when Julius got there, Julius was going to be telling them about Jesus. You know, that was my dad. He'd be telling them about Jesus. They would just scatter and scatter. And in an accident, a horrible accident back in 74, my dad was taken, you know, in an accident suddenly, you know. And boy, you know, we had two funerals, one up in New York and one down in South Carolina. When we got to that South Carolina funeral, oh my goodness, it was something. It was something. That funeral was something. And just the tears and of his family and his brothers and sisters, a lot of brothers and sisters. And I'll tell you, within 5 years, every single one, I'm telling you, every single one of them came to Jesus Christ. And there were so many of them, because my grandmother had a lot of kids. She had like 14 kids. When all of them came to Jesus, they went ahead and started their own church. And my uncle became the pastor, you know, of that church. This happened. You know, but the uncle became the pastor of that church. He wasn't living right. But he gave his life to Jesus and started studying scripture. Lord ordained him to be the pastor of the church, of the family. That was all the family. And the church was prospering and growing and stuff. And don't you know, it was maybe about 20 years later that uncle died of a heart attack, just suddenly again. And I was like, and I thought about that. I was like, Lord, you do exceedingly abundant. You do great things, because had you not taken my father, who knew you, then my uncle would not have been ready to go. I don't know. He may have not have been ready. He may not have given his life to Christ. And so when his time came, he was ready to go. See, that's how God operates. The God who operates in the eternal. So you keep praying for your loved ones, you know, and just look at the grace of God. I just see the grace of God all over that, all over our story there. I see the grace of God. Lord, it was hard for us to lose our dad that young, but you were looking at eternity. And he was looking at my mom, praying woman. And today, all of my brothers and sisters are serving Jesus. They weren't at the time, but God took care of everybody. See, God takes care of everybody. Like, I am about to take their father early, but I will be sure that my grace is extended to the children, you know, so that they are drawn in. And one by one, we were drawn in. One by one. My brother was a hard case, but God brought him in too. You guys know, we all got hard cases in our families, don't we? We got those hard cases. You keep praying for those hard cases, because they come. You know, I just want you to see a picture of God's grace. And sometimes it does not look like grace at the time. It just looks like a tragedy. But even in the tragedies, God's grace is coming. So he is a God that sees into the eternal. So as the scripture says, for it is by grace, God's unremarkable compassion and favor, drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own efforts, but it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God, not as a result of your works. And I want you to get that part. Not as a result of your works. Because we're going to talk about that. Nor your attempts to keep the law. Oh, get that one too. So that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for his salvation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We won't be able to boast. I can't boast anything about Karen Coleman being saved because it was all him. It was all, he drew me, he brought me in, he set up the circus, he did everything. And then when I finally got myself to the altar, he saved me. Okay, he did it all. And then he grew me up. And he continues to grow us up. He did everything. And it's so important we get that too, that you're not boasting. You don't take any credit for this salvation. You know, that is an important point that we're going to talk about. Because sometimes we want to get back into works and get back into taking credit for our salvation and taking credit for what we do in Christendom. Oh, please don't do that. It's all to his glory. And it's all about him. It's all about him. The next point on your lesson says, this entire passage ties grace and salvation to love, kindness, riches, and God freely meeting significant spiritual needs in our lives that we did not earn or deserve. Hallelujah. So God's grace flies in the face of our pride, doesn't it? His grace is going to fly in the face of your pride. Therefore, we must set aside our pride so that we can fully experience grace. Do you get that? You have to set aside your pride if you're going to fully experience his grace. You know, because sometimes we'll get saved, but then that's it. I'm going to do it from here, Lord. I got to do this, and I got this, and I want to do this for you, Jesus, and I want to do that for you, Jesus. I'm like, set aside your pride. You do not have the agenda. He has. So we have to understand that grace, that if we want to fully experience what he wants to do in us, then we have to set that pride piece aside. Next point on your lesson says, God's grace begins with who he is, being rich in mercy, having great and wonderful love. Man, boy, that, you know, he's being rich in mercy. And what that means is that that's who he is. You know, God didn't have to make himself that. He is rich in mercy. He does have great and wonderful love. These are the unchangeable attributes of our God. He did not have to conjure up grace for us because it was always a part of who he is. Hallelujah. Unlike our God, we must learn grace. See, we got to learn grace. God was already grace. The mercy of it, the love of it, we have to learn it. And that's another thing we have to understand. You've got to learn this. You don't just get saved and you know everything. And you know, we have to grow in grace, the scripture says. And in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says. So we've got to be open to what the scriptures are teaching us. Then he stands back from it because they do not understand God, the God of grace. They don't understand God. That's why so many people, you know, they have a hard time sometimes coming to God because they don't understand it. They don't get it. You know, when Jesus taught on the mountainside, and all those people came and they listened because it was something new to them. They hadn't heard this. I thought we had to bring the doves and the pigeons and the lambs, and I thought we had to do all of this and then we're all right with God. But for Jesus to be teaching this grace piece was very new to them, as it is new to all of us. We grow up in this world, dog eat dog world. You're not getting anything for free, and everybody's got an agenda, and here comes Jesus with the free gift of salvation and all the grace that comes with that. And it throws us for a loop. And sometimes, as I said, the pride stands up. Oh, no, I know they want, I know. Oh, let it go so you can experience the fullness of his grace. The next point on your lesson says this. The grace within him compelled him to send his beloved son to save us, to make us alive together with Christ. boy, I hope you see the impact of that, what that part says. With Christ. You know, he takes us with him. Not below him, not behind him, not over there in that city over there while I'm over here. He takes us with him to heaven where he is. You know, where he is, that's where I'm going to be also, the scripture says. He takes us with him. You know, some people, they may let you come, but you need to sit over there because this is my spot over here. And you need to, well, you can't, you know, this is my house. And you living over there in that shack. Now, I put that shack over there for you. So be glad you got the shack, you know. But, oh, not Christ. He takes us with him. What did he say? I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many, what is it called? Mansions. Not houses, not huts. He says, mansions.
Amen.
With him. See, you got to understand this grace piece, or you can't, you're going to miss all that. Because why would he give me a mansion? I don't deserve a mansion. Lord, I'll just be glad to get in. You know? Just be, some people just slide through, those pearly gates by the skin of their teeth. But he says, I prepare mansions for you. Oh, that where I am, there you may be also. So we're alive together with Christ. We have everything that he gives us, the love, the peace, the joy that comes with knowing Jesus. We were dead and rotting in sin, and God's incomprehensible grace sent his Son into our filth and stench to live with us, to teach us, and eventually save us. He did everything for us. The depth of God's grace is beyond the understanding of sinners. We can only believe it and receive it. We can never explain it. See, that's grace. You can't explain grace. Not in this world's standards. You can't. Because the way this world is and the way this world treats, how we treat each other in the world, we can't understand grace. All we can do is receive it. All we can do is allow it in our lives to grow up and do its great work in us. God's grace is so foreign to our sinful world where nothing of value is free or everyone has an ulterior motive for anything that they do. And then there's grace that presents itself with this amazing love and this amazing plan of rescue. It's difficult at first for us to get this, but once we do, we will never be the same. When I see a person really get grace, when I was really beginning to understand grace, I changed. It wasn't about competing with people anymore. It wasn't about putting on pretense. It didn't matter because grace was there. He loved me no matter what. I don't have to do anything because he loves me no matter what, whether I'm you know, whether you look better than me, it doesn't matter. You know, whether you have more than me, it doesn't matter. Because grace says he loves me. And that's why I've got to get it and know that he loves me. The next one in our lesson says, why is it so important to understand God's grace as an unmerited gift of his favor and kindness? Grace, God's grace continues beyond our saving from deserving judgment into a raising with Christ in heavenly places. And we just hit on that. The heavenly places are beyond this world and this realm. In the heavenly places, we are untouched by the ravages of sin. And the tears of this world are wiped from our eyes. And the peace and the love of the Father surrounds us forever. His grace does this. You know, can you see that? You know, and I've been thinking about that a lot. How does he wipe all tears from our eyes, Lord? How? I can't fathom that. You know, just the memories I have alone brings tears to my eyes when of life on earth. You know, how do you do that? But he said he's going to do it. I don't know how. I can't even tell you, begin to tell you how he's going to do it. But he promises that he will, so that you will have total peace while you're, as you are in heaven, and he'll wipe all that stuff from your eyes. while all the tear from your eyes and the ravages of sin. It's important to understand where he is taking us so we will willfully surrender to him and stop fighting his way. Remember, this whole lesson is about living the gospel. But we fight it. You know, even after we come to know him as Lord and Savior, we still fight his way. We still fight forgiveness. We still fight love. We still fight peace. We fight peace. We got to worry. I got to worry about it. I got to fix this. I got to go do this. I got to do that. I got to make sure. Instead of his way, peace. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. We fight his way all the time. But when you understand his grace, you won't be fighting his way all the time. In so many ways, it's not just by being disobedient. So many other ways we fight. We fight the Holy Spirit all the time. We don't want to do what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. Because he's always telling us to love people and forgive and, you know, be patient and, you know, what are some of love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering, oh my goodness, that one really gets my goat. You know, I'm just like, Lord Jesus, how long? I've been dealing with this for 6 months, you know? Oh, we don't want to do it his way, you know? We get tired, you know? We want it now, I want it now. We'll get on that one too, you know? You flip to your left and you'll see we're going to get on wanting it now, you know? So, and then the gospel of grace, oh man, wants to teach us patience. Wants to teach us patience and love. And boy, that's some of the hardest things as you're sitting and waiting and trusting and waiting and trusting and waiting and trusting and waiting and trusting and waiting and trusting. It can go on for years, people. Waiting and trusting. Waiting and trusting. And I heard Joyce Meyer say one time, the minute God answers the prayer, don't you know that enemy will be and have you some worried about something? In the next 5 minutes, he'll have you worried about something else. So you might as well live in peace and trust in God. Or your whole life is going to be miserable as you're worried about the next thing. What did Jesus say? Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. Enjoy today. Enjoy your Sunday. Go home and have a nice Sunday dinner. You know, spend time with your family. Tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. So we're going to stop fighting his way, and we're going to learn what it is to live the gospel of grace. And part of that is living in peace in your mind. The next point says, why is a works-based salvation wrong? Wow, let's hit that one. With this plan and promise of God, we must conclude that our saving and raising can never be earned. As you look at verse 8, it all comes under the umbrella of his grace. This is why any teaching that says we can earn our salvation through penance or any other method is an affront to the grace of God and the work of Christ on the cross for us. There's no question on that. Anything that teaches you that you can earn it is an affront to the grace of God and the work of Christ on the cross. He covered all your sin. You know, and we've got to get that. So we're not trying to earn our way. You know, well, Karen, then why do we do all these good works? Why do we have the food pantry? And why are we got vacation Bible school going on? Now, why are we doing all these things for the community? And why? Because of the love of Jesus that is within us. Because of the love. See, that when you love somebody, you just do stuff for them. See, when you fall in love with Jesus, you'll be doing all kinds of stuff for him. Just like you, when you fall in love with people, you fall in love with your spouses, you fall in love with your children. Oh, you're doing all kinds of stuff. You know? Because you love them. As we talked about a few weeks ago, those babies, they come into your life and you just give them everything. You know? I say, you see these poor mamas after they've had a baby, you see them a year later, they ain't bought themselves a new dress, they ain't got no new shoes, they ain't got nothing. You know, they used to be dressed to the nines, and now they get those children, they don't have anything new. The baby all decked out, you know, got a new carriage, you know, and, you know, designer carriages they got now. Baby got on their frilly clothes and their new shoes. Mama ain't got nothing. Mama just wearing her same dress from 5 years ago. Because you fall in love. Because you fall in love. That's why we do what we do. That's why we do what the service of the church does. You know, as I said, Christians give more in this world than any other people group. Christians, they give. They give. Why? Because they love him. They do it because they love him. And he loves the world. And through, when his love flows through us, we love the world. And we give to people, and we do. We reach into our pocketbooks and we give. And we lay it out because we love him and we trust him. That's why we do it. You know, so let's get it straight. It's not a matter of works. Don't think because you're working in the food pantry and because you're volunteering that you're earning stuff. You can't earn anything. You do it because you love him. That's why I do it, because I love him. You know. So we have to get this situation with grace. You know, right. Don't try to earn things, because it's an affront to God's grace and the work of Christ on the cross. He died for your sins. There's nothing you can do beyond that. The belief that you could earn your salvation breeds the spirit of pride. There it is again, which is the very opposite of the foundation of the acceptance of God's grace. And that always keeps popping up over and over in humans. Because that's where we fell, pride. So pride keeps coming up again and again. So we always have to always keep that pride piece under subjection. This is why some people get angry with God, because somehow they have come to believe that they deserve a certain treatment before him, when all we deserve is death. For all have sinned, the scripture says, and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. That's why people get upset. Well, why did God let this happen? Why did God? God doesn't owe you anything. Do you understand? We take so much for granted, so much of his grace. His grace actually is all over this world. Because had it not been, we would all be dead. Humanity would have been off the planet long, long time ago if it wasn't for his grace. Even when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it was his grace that kept them from still being on the planet. We breathe his air. We eat his food. We live on his planet. Everything is his. That is his love and his grace. Nothing is yours. Do you understand? Nothing is yours. Nothing. Everything you're using is his. He just letting you use it. I know you think, oh, we have an economy, and I bought this house, and I bought this car. You better get up. You're living in a dream. And you know that because anything can happen, and your stuff is gone. You know, we live in a nation where if the IRS wanted to take your house, they can take your house. And they just find something out. They'll make something up, and they come take your house. In a blinking book. Everything is his. You have it because he gave it to you. Yes. You have it because he allowed you. Your children aren't even your own. You understand? They're not your children. He let you, they're alone to you for a while. He let you raise them. Folks, we got to get this grace. See, when you see it that way, you understand the tremendous grace of God. Lord, I thank you for letting this little bundle of joy come into my life. At least they started out that way, right? They started out that way, didn't they? Thank you, Jesus. You know, keep thanking Jesus for them, because Jesus already knew. He's the Alpha and Omega. He already sees the end of those children. You know, he sees everything. And he chose you to raise them. You know, grace. God's grace. God's grace. He opens up wombs. Do you understand? I mean, you've seen that in the Bible stories, but I've seen that in real life stories. The doctor said, I can't have a baby, and here I am pregnant. Because God, the grace of God, I'm going to give you a child. God's grace. God's grace. So we got to really understand and get this grace and understand you can't earn anything. You don't deserve anything but death, but it was because of his grace that you have been saved and delivered. And this is by grace you keep growing and growing and growing. Don't take his grace for granted. Take advantage of God's grace. He is willing to teach you tremendous things if you'll just let down the walls and accept the grace of it. Next point says, this is why we must be sure that whatever we are doing in our lives, we are doing it as unto the Lord, in obedience and honor to him. We do nothing with the attitude that we are earning a position before God and man. See that piece too. Not even earning it in front of men. You do it, everything is under God. But we do it simply because our Lord asked us to. Simply because we love him. And that's what you have to get, whatever you do. Oh, boy. Let me just read this next part. Our greatest title before God is servant. Let me read that again. Our greatest title before God is servant. If we are acknowledged, we direct the glory to God. If we are not acknowledged, we give the glory to God for allowing us to be a part of his secret work. Oh, wow. I treasure the secret works. I love the secret works that nobody knows because I know it's counted up there. You know, when you get acknowledged down here, I said, oh, well, you done messed up. Now, you done messed me up. I had something going up there and you had to go acknowledge me, you know. I'm just saying, I appreciate when people say nice things, but that's the attitude you should have. Like, wow, you know, I was trying to keep that in the down low, you know. That was just between me and Jesus, you know. That's our secret work. I've had people do so many incredible things for me that were just in secret, you know. Just in secret. I was in need one time, and I went out to my mailbox, and somebody put, I kid you not, I think $700 in cash in my mailbox. In cash, in my mailbox. No, nothing on the envelope. Just Karen Colvin on the envelope. Must have put it in the dead of night because I don't know when it got there, you know. And just put it, I'm like, Lord, never said a word. To this day, I don't know who did it. To this day, I don't know who did that. But people, it just, God's secret service. I love that. You know, I heard that. I was reading a book and the author was talking about being in God's secret service. You know, the Secret Service, you don't know what they're doing. CIA, you know, in the United States, some of y'all might be in the CIA. I don't know. Nobody even knows it, you know, because you got to keep that secret, you know. Wow. So, you know, it's a joy to be in God's Secret Service. We are thankful for his grace that gave us our gifts and talents to serve him. We live thankful for his grace that saved our lives and continues to operate within our lives to make us more like him. See, this is living. This is living the gospel of grace, where all praise belongs to the Lord. You have your talents, you have your gifts, but you give the glory to God for everything. You give the glory to God for everything. You know, some of the things, guys, that the Lord gives me to write, I know the Lord gives it to me because I ain't that deep. You know, I'm like, but it's because of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. That's why I said any one of you all could be up here teaching. Any one of y'all. You know, he's letting me do it today. But any one of you, any gift, any talent, he drops his drops of grace where he wants because he has the whole plan out. You know, some of you guys have talents, you know, that are amazing. Some of you guys are running businesses. Some of you guys have gifts and talents and can bake cakes and, you know, do these incredible things. Some of you guys have beautiful singing voices. You know, he drops of grace, and you give all the glory to God. All the glory goes to him. All praise belongs to him. As we go on, the next point. Why would human pride tend to choose a works-based salvation? Now all of us can answer, why would human pride choose a works-based salvation? Because we have chosen that. There are many religions in the world, that are works-based. Do this, this, and this, this, and this, and then you'll have peace, and then you'll come to this thing, and then you'll come to that thing after you do this, this, and this. You know, why do human pride tend to choose a works-based salvation? The moment we forget His grace in our lives is the moment pride has an opportunity to enter in and tear us down. Resisting the spirit of pride is the ongoing battle within the human heart. It tries to rise in us continually. Therefore, a works-based salvation is appealing to the human flesh, but it must be resisted with Christ within the human spirit. Remember we showed that diagram of the body, the soul, and the spirit. And the spirit is where the Holy Spirit lives. You know, because when you do something, you're going to feel that. You know, have you ever done something and somebody else got the credit for it? And what do you feel? Let's be honest. You feel a little miffed. Well, I did that, you know. Or you did it too, but nobody acknowledged you. Well, I helped too. Why didn't they say anything about me? Oh, well, you know. Oh, pride. You know, it comes up in all of us. None of us can say that it doesn't come up because we're born in sin. And when you feel it, you know, you don't have to deny it's there. You just have to deal with it. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I cast that down. I have to cast that down all the time. I cast that down. You know, I don't have to be acknowledged on this. Lord, I did it as unto you. And sometimes you have to say it to yourself. Lord, I did that as unto you. And I just rebuke the spirit of pride that's trying to come and rise up in me. And I did it as unto you. It doesn't matter if they never say my name, Lord. You know, that's what I do. You know, I mean, you may still have the feelings, but again, don't let the feelings dictate who you are. Let your spirit dictate, you know, because your feelings are going to be feeling all wounded and hurt, but your spirit can say, we did it as unto the Lord, and that's what we're going to stand in. We're going to behave in a way in which we've done it as unto the Lord. We're not going to behave in a way that pleases our feelings. Like, you know, we're going to have an attitude, well, that's the last time I do that. You know, that's the last, I won't be here next time. Pride, honey. You've got many faces, honey, but that's it. You know, and we're laughing because we said it. We have said it, haven't we? We said that because that's the way we feel. You know, we love those works-based awards. I did all these works now. Oh, yay, look at me. You know, the queen wave. Yeah, look at me. But when we do it as unto Christ, and when that starts taking hold, that's when you really are living the gospel of grace, because it all is His. You know, even that person that's getting the award, you know, pray for them, okay? I pray. I'm glad you got that award. Blessing. But you always, careful, you know. I tell people, be careful when you're praised. Be careful, because that's the point where you're most vulnerable to sin and to pride. Because you've been praised and you've been lifted up, you know, and you have to be so careful with yourself. Not that God doesn't want you to be lifted up. I love the fact that Jesus lets you get credit for stuff He does. He has given you the idea. He gave you the thought. He blessed your business. He did all that. And then you get an award and He lets you take the credit. You know, because the humans are going to see you. And He lets you stand up there and receive that award and take that credit. But you better be careful. Oh, be careful. Lord, I gave you the honor and I gave you the glory. And you see those football players, you know, when they win the game and they drop on one knee, you know, and they give the glory to God, you know, and they, you know, or they point up. And I love that because it just shows people I'm giving the glory to God. Yes, I'm the one that was running up and down this field, but I know who gave me the strength. I know who gave me the power to be able to do and to throw that ball as long as it did. Oh, did you see how long he threw that ball? Oh, man. I remember years ago, my daughter was taking karate, and you know, she was at a tournament, and she had to run and jump in the air and break this board with her foot. And I'm telling you, it was amazing. I still have it on video. But she was running. You know, I was always praying for her, just praying for her. And her turn came up, and she ran. And so many people, they didn't make it, or they had to do it several times. And I'm telling you, Kristen got up there, and she ran down that field, and she jumped up. And I'm telling you, I don't know how she jumped up that high. But she jumped up, and bam, and that board broke in half. And I was like, oh, my God. I was so excited, I dropped the camera. You can see the video. I dropped the camera. I'm like, okay. Y'all see that? Because it was so amazing. And I was like, Lord. I said, it's almost like the angels picked her up. You know, and just helped her to do that. That's what God does. You know, the Lord just meant, I said, I can't see it, but I just honestly believe. Oh, there were angels there. And so many times, guys, how many times? How many times have your life been spared? How many times that something was supposed to happen and it didn't happen? How many times? His grace. I've heard people say, you're so lucky. I said, hey, lucky girl. Jesus is with me. Jesus is with me. Years ago, we used to do these walk-a-thons for our organization and stuff. And, you know, and it would be like in April. We always do it in April. April's Natural Autism Month, so we do it in April. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen in April in Colorado. You don't know if it's going to be a snowstorm, whether it's going to be warm. You don't know. Every single year, we had a beautiful day. And I remember somebody saying, you guys are so lucky. I can't believe you guys got another beautiful day. I'm like, we're not lucky. God is with us. You know, it's like God will be with you. But you be careful to always give him the honor and the glory. Live that gospel of grace before people. You know, stay humble before him and live the gospel of grace. As soon as you see pride try to raise its ugly head, you cast it far away from you and you keep going. Next point. How is a works-based salvation actually oppressive, enslaving, and discouraging? The truth of a works-based salvation is that you can never obtain a place of purity outside of the cleansing of Christ's blood, and you could never maintain it outside of the Holy Spirit. You know, and that's the thing about works-based. See, outside of Christ, it can't be maintained. It can't be held together. Therefore, those that would believe that being a good person will bring them salvation are doomed to toil and toil, but never attain to redemption. See, that's the problem with works-based. Because you could never work enough to be satisfied or to satisfy the world around you. That's the problem. After all of their good works, all of their good works will never be enough. They will live like the donkey chasing the carrot dangling in front of his face, but never reaching it. And that's what a works-based salvation will do for you. You know, it dangles something in front of you, like you're going to get to some place and the bells are going to ring and, you know, you're going to be fully aware and you're going to be fully satisfied. No, you won't. No, you won't. There will always be something else that you need to do to feel good about yourself or to feel okay about yourself. You know, there will always be somebody that's going to make a comment that's going to bring you back down. There's always going to be something in this world that brings you back down when it's a works-based salvation that you're living for. People say, well, so-and-so's a good person. I'll tell you, that good person, that you know, they won't be satisfied. There's always be more that you have to do. But when it's based on grace, when it's based on the fact that Jesus has received you into himself, that he loves you no matter what. You can't love him. He can't love you any more than he loves you right now. And when you receive that, you're just doing things because you love him. I'm going to do this because I love him. Because I love the Lord, you know. And tomorrow if you can't do it, it's okay. Because you know he loves you. He still loves you. If I can't be, I did it last year, but I can't do it this year because this is going on in my family, in my life. It's okay. You know, you don't have to wander around feeling bad. Oh, man, I can't be a part. Grace. I'm in his hands. That thing I used to do is in his hands. It's all him. And we won't get so caught up in all the things that we do, all the works that we do to make ourselves feel good. And we all do it, folks. You know, we were born to this. We were all born to this. That if you do stuff, you'll feel good about yourself. You know, you feel proud. You feel... And now, in Jesus Christ, you got to shift everything. It's all to his honor and to his glory. If you acknowledge me, fine. If you don't acknowledge me, fine. It's all to his glory. It's all his grace. If I can be there, fine. If I can't be there, fine. He still loves me. I'm still accepted in the beloved. I don't have to worry about being rejected. See, in human terms, if you can't do it, they'll reject you. You know, they'll reject you. You know, you can be the young, flashy executive one day, and then you can be the aging employee in a few years where they will push aside and bring in the younger ones. That's going to happen. It happens to all of us. But you don't have to worry about that in grace. Because Jesus loved you when you were in your mother's womb. And Jesus will love you when you leave this earth. Amen. Just the same. Amen. He never leaves you. He has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always there with you. That's the gospel of grace. And when you embrace this, when you really embrace this, oh, wow, what peace you can have. What joy. You won't be people pleasers anymore. It'll be all about him and what he tells you to do and doing the works, because you'll never reach that carrot. You see this all the time, wanting or seeking praise and accolades for what they have done. I see people do that. You know, you ever see people try to give themselves a compliment on the slide? Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I did that for, maybe 25 years I did that. You know, the slide compliment. Oh, you did? Oh, wow, isn't that great? You know, I wish I had my cords. I could go out and cut somebody. Oh, isn't that great? Oh, my God, did you just hear that she did this for 25 years? We're just doing it the first year. Just needing those accolades. Why do we do this? Because our eyes on the works for validation and not the Lord who accepts us fully with or without our works. Remember the scriptures talk about on that day of judgment, the great white throne judgment. I know Pastor Steve preached about that a few years ago, and how we're going to be as believers. You know, and that our works will be tested, whether they was for the Lord or were they for us. And will they be burned up in his sight because it was all about us. You know, it was all about us. It was never about him. You know, in fact, you weren't doing what he told you to do. You know, because you were too tired to do what he told you to do because you're doing your works. Yes, they were good things. Yes, they were good things. Don't let that confuse you. But we do what he tells us to do. We do it as unto him, as honor unto him. And then I just want to leave you before we open for questions. Romans 5:8 says, but God proves his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's what you want to keep in your heart, keep in your mind, that he dies for us, whatever our situation. Romans 5:8. Do you believe he loves you? This is what this chapter is going to be about. The gospel of grace, living it, and understanding his love for you, and understanding this grace, because then you can really do warfare, because it won't be about you anymore. It won't be about you. It'll be about him. And then you can really be effective in warfare when you get there. Anybody have any questions or comments? You're going to have to come up here with me. Come on, somebody. Do I have one brave soul? Terry said, I told you nobody was coming up there. Come on. Do we have one brave soul that will stand with me up here? I'll stand with you. Okay. Y'all ain't getting up. Okay. Okay, so. Oh, here's Virginia. See, thank you for Virginia. See? There she goes. And see, she got a cane, too, and she's still getting up here. See? So y'all need to, see? That's all right. By the end of this lesson, they're going to be up here.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to say. Stand alone? Never. Because we're never alone. And we so many times we'll step out and say, oh, I'm going to do this. And it blows up in our face. And we turn around and look back and say, why? You know, and there's consequences on everything that you do. It could be good consequences, it could be bad. And most of the time it's bad. But we do it in the flesh.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, yes. Yeah. And God's grace. You can't put a dollar mark. You can't. I remember with me one time standing out on that rock, and I asked, I says, God, if you are who you say you are, prove it to me. And he did, and it changed my life, you know, so it's just, you know, and he's so patient. I think he laughs at us a lot of time because of our so foolishness, you know, so, but yeah, hang in there, don't give up, and this thing is that his grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, so, God's riches at Christ's expense.
I love that, what she said. You know, even when it's our fault, see, that's grace. Even when we mess up, even when it's our fault, he still comes and rescues us.
He knows we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, he already knew we were going to do it.
He already no surprises.
He already had the rescue in place because he knew we were going to do it. He said, it's going to take her 10 more times before she does it my way. So let's get 10 plans of rescue in place for her to get her out of this mess, okay?
I had about 50 different shovels that he gave to me, and I got tired of the shovels.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anybody else? Okay, I guess we're going to pray. Nothing wrong with prayer. We'll just go into prayer. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Father, we just thank you for the gospel of grace, Lord God. We thank you that the gospel teaches us, Lord God, that you bought and paid for our salvation, and not just our salvation, but you paid for our growth in you, Lord God, so that we could be with you, so that we could be like you, Lord God, so that we could be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what a beautiful experience it is for us human beings, to be filled with your Holy Spirit, to finally experience what it is to have true love and true peace and true joy. Oh, Lord God, to learn patience and long-suffering, Lord God, gentleness, kindness, oh, Lord, and self-control, Lord. We thank you for it all, Lord God. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, and we pray our prayer is always that you would increase and we would decrease, Lord God, as we walk into this lesson of living the gospel of grace, Lord God. I pray that we would embrace it, Lord God. Lord, I pray you break down the walls and the cobwebs in our mind, Lord God, and give us revelation, understanding, revelation, knowledge in this lesson, Lord God, so that we would not only just understand it, but we would live it. Oh God, it's day by day practice, Lord God, but bring it back to our remembrance, the things that we have learned, the things that we heard. Lord, more than anything, bring back your word to our mind, Lord God, in the times when we need it, Lord God, when our emotions are high and our faith is low, Lord God, I pray, bring your word to our mind. Bring the scriptures to our mind, Lord God, and I pray that we would choose you, Lord God. We would choose your way over our way. We would choose your way over our emotions, Lord God. Oh, Father, it is our hope, our endeavor, our hope to grow in you. Oh, God, we don't come to Sunday school just to sit and to listen and to have our ears tickled, Lord God. We come to Sunday school so that we can learn of you and that we can apply it to our lives, Lord God. Oh, Father, we come so that we can take your word and we can do effective warfare out there in the world, Lord. The world is hard. The world is tough, Lord God. The world is unforgiving, Lord God. So, Lord, I pray you would help us to take in your word, digest it, Lord God. And that as we pray for our loved ones, as we pray for our co-workers, as we pray for our neighborhoods, as we pray for our nation, as we pray for our world, Lord God, we would be effective. You said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman avails much. Lord, we want to see the availing of much in our families, oh Lord, in our nation. Oh God, so I pray. Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. We don't want to be hearers of the word and not doers of the word. Oh, Lord, so make it real to us. Make it alive to us, Lord God. Many read your word, Lord, but we have the Holy Spirit that makes it alive in us, Lord God. So make your word alive in us. Move by your power. Move by your spirit. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.